The SBS Cycling Podcast is brought to you by Tanara.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Welcome to the SBS Cycling Podcast. I'm Christophe Malin. I'm your host. And on stage 8 of this Tour de France, I'm with, of course, Dave McKenzie, commentateur exceptional. Dave McKenzie, how are you, Dave?
Oh, I was in there. I had to pull all my tricks out of the bag today because it was a long, hot, dusty, slow one.
It was a bit of a drag, let's say.
Yeah, I think we're allowed to say that. And, you know, it's not a criticism. It's like day three of a test.
Yes.
Test cricket, I'm talking about. And, you know, there's not much happening. The ball isn't spinning much. And you just got to, you know, get up and do the dishes and clean up the kitchen in between, make a coffee. You're sort of keeping one eye on the event, but you're just sort of getting some house duties done.
Where's this Tour de France is very different from what we had before is that we are the weekend of Bastille Day. Bastille Day is on Monday.
Yeah.
But what do we have on Saturday and Sunday? Tomorrow is also another sprint stage. So two sprint stages on the weekend of Bastille Day. I don't know the stats, but I don't think we've seen this very, very often.
No, I mean, historically, for many years, it was always the first week would just sprint stages, wasn't it? Which you can't believe now that that's how the race was sort of formulated.
Yeah.
But you're right, now it's almost reverse. So we're looking like three sprint stages in a row.
Yeah.
Leading into quasi week two.
Yeah, absolutely. For that matter, I think it's hard for us that have been on many tours. I mean, I've been on half the tours you've been, but it's hard to make my head around where we are. It's a bit of a blur in that sense, I guess.
It is. Well, there was a question to Dylan Groenewegen on the World Feed today, and the last question said, do you know where we are?
Yeah.
And he was like, I have no idea. And then he said, oh, hang on a minute. He looked down on his stem because he had the race profile. But it's true. You don't know what day it is.
You should have listened to the podcast because Laval is one of the 8 towns that you can read back and forth.
That is it. He should have. Correct. And another tidbit. I think we've talked about him on the pod already. Jackie Durand is from here.
Yeah. Jackie Durand is from around the way. And also, while we are at it, Louison Bobet.
Yes.
Was from the start of the stage today. Hommage to Louison Bobet.
Yeah.
The thing with Louison Bobet as well is that his parents had a bakery, the boulangerie Bobet.
Yeah.
And this boulangerie Bobet still exists and is still owned by part of the Bobet family, the Louison Bobet family.
Wow.
I was hoping to get there today, but then we got so busy and the network connection absolutely rubbish there, so we could not stay. And I would have wanted to have a croissant at the Louison Bobet bakery.
There's a museum dedicated to him as well, and it's divided into 7 stages apparently. Yeah.
If you listen to this podcast and you don't know who Louison Bobet is, well, go on Wikipedia, go on ChatGPT, check it, because he's part of the pure history of cycling in France. Guess what? There was a race today.
There is a winner.
There is a winner. Yes. Jonathan Milan, first Tour de France, first win. As a sprinter, he was expected to perform on this Tour de France for Lidl Trek. First Tour de France again, but beautiful win.
Yeah.
We are a bit gutted for Caden Grove. We'll talk about this in a sec, but it's a well-deserved win for Jonathan Milan.
It was a well-deserved win. And look,
he's been knocking at the door for a little while.
He's been knocking at the door and he's been trying very hard. And he basically nailed it today, 100% out of 100%, because he got the intermediate sprint as well. Remember, at the start of the day, he was only wearing the jersey on loan. Now he wears it for real because he's accumulated, I think there was 70 points up for grabs today, and right now I can tell you he has now taken Pogacar. Remember, at the start of the day was leading on 156 points. Milan is now on 192.
Yeah, okay.
So he has had maximum gains today, and more importantly against these green jersey rivals. Gourmet really is the next that will challenge him. He's on 124. So there's a big gap starting to open up here.
We'll talk about Gourmet in a sec as well, but just focusing on Milan, that green jersey has to be a target for Lidl Trek. It has to be a target for them.
We're
not unveiling a big secret here.
I think we talked about it in comms. You know, the first week for any sprinter, generally it's like they're not thinking about the green jersey. It's about getting a stage win.
Yeah.
It's a chicken and egg scenario. You get the stage win, well, then you're in the hunt for the green. And so I think for Milan, of course. Well, he showed that he was up for the green from the very beginning, actually, because he's going all out and all in for the intermediate sprints. Now he's got the stage win that he's waited 8 days to get. Now, you know, he zeroes in on that green jersey, especially with the advantage he's got.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a very well-deserved win for Milan. As we said in this intro as well, Caden Grove, he was there. So I just want to play this interview I had with Caden before the stage. That was so before the stage. And then we'll talk about this. Caden, obviously a day that could be for you. What's the form like, and what's the plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all feeling a bit of fatigue in our team and also the entire peloton. I think they've all experienced a pretty hectic first week. And yeah, today we have a good opportunity for a sprint for myself. And yeah, I think it's one that suits me with the final uphills.
The fact that Philipsen is not here anymore, does that change your status within the team?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we know that the tour is unpredictable. So yeah, me being here for the lead out was the ultimate goal. To support Jasper, but now that he's gone, I'm happy to fill the shoes and try for my own opportunity to best represent the team.
Is one of the objectives for the team the green jersey for Mathieu van der Poel or not?
No, not for the moment. We have to see also Pogacar is on super shape, and it's not something we're actively looking at, but I think Mathieu will keep it in the back of his mind and not let points go away without spending a little bit of energy, if you know what I mean. So it's not that he's contesting every intermediate, but he's also not going to, not be interested at all, because we know later in the tour he has more stages and breakaways where he can collect some.
Good luck today.
Perfect.
So that's Caden Grove. He mentions here the fact that now he sort of has to take charge in these days. He's grown into this team because Philipsen is out, and the team smartly decided to bring Caden Grove as a backup for Philipsen. But today, it's not paying for the stage, but for Caden, he's now number one sprinter for Alpecin.
Yeah, and look, he was in the mix. He's third. I want to rewatch the replay, because I interviewed him post-stage. He sort of said he probably jumped a little bit too soon.
Yeah.
From what I saw, I didn't think so. So I want to go back and rewatch it. I trust him if he says that. He knows better than I do. But what was important is that he's upbeat. He was upbeat in the interview. This is immediately post-stage. And he talks about how the team did a great job and maybe just got the timing a little bit wrong, but certainly didn't seem frustrated. He was pretty content with the top three. So that's good. You know, he's positive. He feels like he's in the mix. He is in the mix with the top three. He knows he's there or thereabouts. So he's got some confidence that he can get the job done on at least one occasion.
He was so dominant at the Vuelta for so many stages. He's a bit less dominant here. Is it because the level of the sprint is so much higher? The competition is so much higher. Yeah. It's nothing to do with his sprint.
No, exactly. No, his sprint's good. And look, he's got to bring better than any of his Vuelta wins probably to win here, because this is where the best sprinters in the world come.
Mm-hmm.
They come to the Tour de France. And
so if you're a sprinter, do you swap all your Vuelta win for that one win at the Tour de France?
100%.
100%.
Oh, I'd say you'd swap eight for a Tour de France win. And you know, in 30 years' time, or 15, 20 years' time when you're retired, you'd swap eight Vuelta stage. If I took myself back to being a bike rider and I had eight Vuelta stage wins, I'd probably switch them all for a Tour de France win.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, it's the biggest, you know. So.
Yeah. What else do we learn about today? Tim Merlier, puncture 10 kilometers away.
And he gave
away.
You nothing.
He gave me the best. Actually, you know what? Let's play this interview. Let's play this interview. This is the best I could get from Tim Merlier today. Tim, can you describe what happened?
Flat tire.
So 10K to go. That was a stage for you. How do you regroup?
I'm just disappointed.
I'm not a bad guy. I must admit, I was a bit unbalanced on the second question, because I was taken for, this is a very short. Having said this, he spoke about 10 minutes to the Dutch program. So he was just not having it, not happy, puncture.
You're out there on the end finish lines with me, so you know I'm not being condescending, but welcome to my world. people think we got the easy job.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I've been doing comms the last 2 days. Aircon, lunch is delivered to you.
Yeah, I can see that. You look refreshed.
Yeah, I feel it. No, out on the finish line.
Tim Merlier, he says he's disappointed. Man of a few words, let's say. He has to be disappointed. He would have AF marked this stage 100%.
He absolutely would have challenged Milan, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's one that gets away from Puncher. So that's, yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. You just got to, cop it on the chin, don't you, and move on.
Yeah, anything else?
No, look, I think I'm just looking at the sprint, the results. I'll tell you what was good, and we touched on him in the commentary, and you and I have touched on him a little bit. Arnaud Delis was fifth.
Yeah.
He's showing some form coming back. He hasn't shown much thus far, so it's good to see Delis for Lotto, and that's the team of Drizners, obviously. Mm-hmm. Brian Cockard seventh, so there or thereabouts for Brian Cockard. He just he's always that elusive sort of victory, though, for Brian Cockard, the Frenchman. For
a bit of a shaky start as well, because he was involved in the Philipsen, crash. So
yes,
that would be a good redemption for him to have that win.
He's
going to get harder and harder now from now.
Something
needs to happen for him to just have a win.
Probably the one surprise, Biniam Girmay, 19th.
Yeah, so that's why I want to talk about Biniam Girmay. He has not got the form that he had last year. Can we fairly say this?
Yeah, I mean, no, that's right. It's always hard to repeat it. Three stage wins in the green last year. He started off well, second. Yeah. So I thought, okay, the form's there. But 1 year is a long time in the life of a sprinter. And I think in the modern day of cycling, 1 year is a long time in the life of a sprinter, meaning you can be dominant 1 year, the very next year you're the fourth best sprinter in the world. So, yeah, it seems to change rapidly in the life of a sprinter. So I still think Girmay can win a stage, and he's got a box on. He obviously, it just didn't pan out for him, or he got boxed or something happened, who knows. But I still believe he can be in the big hunt for the green.
Yeah, okay.
And I still believe he can win a stage.
There's still a lot of kilometres to go, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I spoke with the man with the best hair in this zone technique, and his Tour de France. Don't go away.
Tanara is Australia's leading alternative asset investment firm. From venture capital and private equity to public markets and credit, we proudly partner with business founders and companies to help them grow their businesses and create value for investors. Led by John Wiley, former chair of the Australian Sports Commission, our team brings deep experience and a shared passion for Australian sport and cycling.
Welcome back to the SBS Cycling Podcast. Mike, are you still with me? I spoke with a guy, as I said, that's got much, much, much more hair than you and me, Marcel Kittel.
Oh,
how good is that quiff?
It's the quiff. It's like amazing.
He's just absolutely perfect.
It's natural too.
And let's talk to him because he's here for the television. I just had a chat with him.
Well, almost every year we meet one of the greatest sprinter ever, is Marcel Kittel. Marcel, it's always so good to see you on the Tour de France.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's also nice to be here.
So tell us what you do here. You commentate for the Dutch television and you speak Dutch.
Yes, I'm working with the Dutch television, and that's already since 3 or 4 years because I am German, but my wife is Dutch. We live in the Netherlands since a couple of years. And it's great because it's a great team and they love cycling, obviously, the Dutchies, and it's nice to be with them here.
So sprinting this year at the Tour de France was at the forefront of the beginning of the Tour de France, first time for a long time. You as a sprinter, how do you see this race going after? You know, we got this first 8 days, but what is it from now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first week is always supposed to be easy, but I don't think that it was this easy the first 10 days. But week number 2 and 3, especially number 3 with all the big mountain stages, will be very, very hard. I do like the build-up of the Tour this year, because you have this classic type of race in the beginning, and then really when we go to the high mountains, we have these typical Tour de France stages with the mountain time trial still in it, and that's going to be nice. But also there we will really see who is the contender next to Pogacar, if there is any, for the yellow jersey.
And of course Paris, back in Paris, but a sprint that is not a natural sprint like it was before. Game changer. What do you think of this?
Yeah, it's It's a pity. I do understand where it comes from, because it's 50 years of Champs-Élysées finish in Paris for the Tour de France, and they wanted to celebrate it. I don't think that the sprinters have much to celebrate there on that day. It will be very difficult, because the parcours three times the Montmartre will definitely change the race dynamic. The small climb that you have there will really make the positions very important, and we saw already this in the first stages this year that they will really attack also on the smaller climbs, and with them I mean the classic guys, Van der Poel, but also Pogacar. So it will be really hard for the pure sprinters to be on time back after the last time Montmartre for a bunch sprint.
From an Australian point of view, we've got Caden Groves. What's your vision on him? What do you think of him? His sprinting style, his position in a team now Philipsen is gone. What's your reading on him?
Now, I really like how versatile he is. It's really impressive to be able to change from a lead-out man back to sprinter and then back to lead-out man. That is not normal in a good way, because that asks a lot of you, especially mentally, if you have to finish at really the finish line or 200 meters before as a lead-out. And I think it was a very smart decision to take him to this year's Tour, because the crash of Philipsen was a proof that everything can also really be, it can be dangerous and your whole plan can change completely. So I really think he's a very good man to replace him.
And now last question, I would say, if I say Van der Poel, green in Paris, does that tie in together or not really? Am I just a dreamer?
I think to be really realistic, this stays a nice dream. Because I don't see, we saw the Mutu Britannia finish is a coefficient 2, you get full points on top, and I don't see that as a stage with no particular difficulties. That's the criterion for coefficient 2 and to get so many points, and that's where Pogacar won, and he will score many more points. He's now already in the lead. It will be really, really difficult to challenge him also for the green jersey.
So that was Marcel Kittel. Marcel Kittel, as we've just learned, speaks Dutch. His wife is Dutch. He lives in the Netherlands, so he speaks Dutch on Dutch TV.
He lives
TV.
In the Netherlands.
He lives in the Netherlands.
Wow.
So,
okay.
So that's very interesting. And of course, having this sprinter, which has dominated the Tour de France on the stage, dominating on the Tour de France at the minute, dominating for us in the route, it's very, very good insight. Let's talk about now the Aussies, but the Aussies update on Jack Haig. Jack Haig didn't finish the stage yesterday. He's relatively a bit. So we had a couple of chances to talk to him, because his interview is on our social media.
Yeah.
I went a bit deeper as well, and I spoke to the DS, someone that you know very well, someone that used to be at Ineos.
Yes, yeah, Rod Ellingworth. Mm. Yeah, yeah. So, they'd be gutted, wouldn't they, the whole team. They were. We saw Stannard as well talk about it. So they've got to pick up the pieces and lick their wounds.
So let's listen to him. Obviously, Jack Haig had to leave the team. Can you give us an update on how he was and what happened?
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, obviously, wrong place, wrong time, both for him and Santi in the final of that race, which was a real shame for both of them. And Jack, unfortunately, has reached really good form and was looking pretty good. But that's bike racing, isn't it? But he's okay. I mean, he's out from a concussion protocol. Few scrapes and bruises, but actually he's okay. So he's gone home this morning and already thinking about the next thing. It's amazing, these riders, how they turn around so quick.
What's the year like for someone like Jack Haig? He talked to us about where he's at the minute. What's his position in the team?
Well, he's very much agreed to be like a support rider in the team, take his opportunity when it comes up. But he's so far this year he's done a cracking job with Lenny and Santi in supporting them. He's got a wealth of experience. When he's on good form, like he has been here, he can really play a big part in a team like ours. So he's going to be missed this next week or two.
And in terms of the strategy, so how does that change for you? Because of course Buitrago was caught out as well. He's starting today. What does that change in terms of a strategy for you?
Well, I think you can clearly say now GC's done. But we've always had the objective of stage win, so that's the next thing. And obviously Santiago, if he's on GC, potentially wouldn't be so easy to get a stage win. But now, that it opens that door for him if he recovers. So we stick to our plan.
And one last question on Lenny. We saw Lenny doing different things, shall we say, on this sort of front. Is he here to learn? Are you trying him on different role, different positions?
Well, I think, you know, any of these younger guys, every day is a learning experience, you know, and I think we're trying to understand Lenny and how he works, and, you know, we're super happy with him up to this point in terms of the results he's had prior to the Tour de France. So, yeah, and he has a desire to try and win a stage at some point, you know, so we just keep working. I think he's, you know, a few little ups and downs along the route, but he's okay, you know, yeah, in the main, okay.
Thank you.
No worries, thank you.
So that was the word from the DS at Bahrain. He has some good words for Jack. He's like, well, yeah, he's a good guy. He's accepted the role of being the domestic for Lenny very well. He's done amazingly so far. I mean, Jack has got to be gutted.
He's gutted. I'm
gutted. Even if he's good spirit, he's got to be gutted.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, if you didn't see it, you can probably get on our socials and or get on demand. And there is, because we and the team was doing it for a lot of it for us. We were filming, shooting a day in the life of Jack Hake.
Yes.
Yesterday when he crashed. He still, he did a piece to camera at the airport outlining what actually happened. So he suffered concussion. And in the end, the race doctor said, no, you're not continuing.
And it was a concussion procedure that took him out. He hasn't got any broken bones or anything
and
like
this. And he's got minor. It was very low level.
Yeah.
Without getting into technicalities, because I won't use the right terminology, but very low level concussion, which is good. He'll take a few days off, go back home to his family. But no, he'll be disappointed. He's out of contract at the end of the year.
Yes.
Last time he crashed out of the Tour de France, he came back and finished third at the Vuelta.
Okay.
So let's hope we see him at the Vuelta, and let's hope we see him do a great ride.
History repeats on that matter.
Yeah.
Someone else I've interviewed about on that matter is Stannard. Rob, is the morning after the crash of yesterday. What's the vibe in the team?
You know, the vibe is still good. It's you know, it's always good in our team. It's super important to keep our heads high. The dynamic now, our goals have changed, but we're still here to race. We're still here to perform at our best. So, yeah, we're just refocused.
How was Jack when he left? You probably saw him at the aftermath. But how was he?
Yeah, he was really, really disappointed. And you know, it's not not a good feeling when one of your team members has to leave. So yeah, it's a big hit for us.
When you say it changes a few things, what does that mean for you? It's your first Tour de France. Does that mean there would be a bit more opportunities, or does your role changes in the team a little bit?
I'm not really thinking about that. Like the goal clear, and we're sprinting with Phil. So now I'm focused on that to do the perfect lead out, and I guess it will change day to day. We still have some Santiago. He's still here. A little bit bruised from yesterday, but he's still got incredible form, and there's some really critical climbing stages to go. So, I mean, now we lost our position on GC, but every day there's still a stage to win.
And one last question, and you talk about the atmosphere in the team, but for you, again, it's your first Tour de France. You said yesterday, well, it's another race. Is it really another race, the Tour de France, or is it something a little bit special?
I meant it was another race by everything we do in the race. Like it's the same, like same feeling. Like I'm focused to win, or focused to do the best job, the same as I am for every race. So, you know, it's on the inside, it's the same. But if I look to the outside, it's something different. But you know, we're practicing and we're training like to come to this race, and we're doing everything, all the processes, and in the way that we can come to this race, and we know exactly what to do every morning for getting ready, every evening for recovering. Like everything is the same, really.
Cool, but we'll let you enjoy it your way.
Thank you.
So that was Rob Stannard, of course, teammate for Jack Hake. Tells us a little bit about the life inside the Bahrain team and the Bahrain outfit. Now, Maka, let's talk about the preview of stage 9 of this Tour de France. Tell us all about it. It's a day for the sprinters again.
It is. And we are going to Châteauroux.
Châteauroux, yeah.
Where Mark Cavendish has won three stages there, mm-hmm. apparently. He won his first there, I believe, his first ever. Let me see, what have we got on the cards? 174.1. And there is not a single categorized climb.
Yeah, it's a
is that true?
Pancake.
Please
flat.
Tell me that's not true.
It is
true. It's true, and there's only 1,000 metres of vertical gain. Any of you budding cyclists will know 1,000 metres of vertical gain in 174K. It's
so
flat.
This is what we call a transition stage.
Yes.
This is pure and simply a transition stage, which, correct me if I'm wrong, 100 million percent of sprints.
100 million?
Could have record
999.999 million a sprint. Yeah, no, it's looking highly likely. It is looking highly likely. So this is your absolute transitional day. They have to have them if they want to get to the south, you know, without doing a huge transfer.
We keep remembering ourselves that in 2 days, we're deep down south of France. In 2 days.
See, but the funny thing is, that surprises me how you talk like that. You've switched into French mode.
Yeah,
because
totally.
In Australia, we go... Oh, let's go down to let's head to the south of France for the weekend.
Yeah,
if
but
you live up
you
north.
Would you absolutely wouldn't. Yeah. You go, this is madness.
Yeah, in France,
and no one is backing me up in this team. Yeah, I'm the one going. It's mad. In 2 days, we're in the south of France.
Yeah, I'm sort of like, yeah, we are. Yeah. I mean, I know it's 10 hours. I know this. It's 10 hours from Ghent in Belgium to Toulouse.
Yeah,
I've done the drive a couple of times, so I'm sort of like, we're only 5 hours away. Why don't we just duck down there now?
Yeah, for me, it's like I don't know. Maybe I'm a metropolitan.
Yes,
I'm a Parisian. But this just this idea, and I'm being totally honest here. This idea of me in 2 days being in the south of France. Tells me I'm going to have some really big drives ahead of me.
Well, you guys have got 3 hours tonight. And you go, because I'm not joining you back in the start team just yet. You got 3 hours tonight, haven't you? And we've got 3 hours to the finish.
Yeah.
Something doesn't add up for me with that.
Well, yeah, there's probably something in geography that is...
I'm slightly nervous.
So a triangular, we are right in the middle. So it's basically an isocel triangle.
That's probably what it is.
So that's probably what it is. But yeah, who wins this? Can Milan go back to back?
Of course he can.
With the energy that he's got from this win and slash Merlier.
Well, this is probably the most interesting bit about the stage, and I'll just talk about the intermediate sprint.
Yes.
It's very early on.
Yeah.
So I think all of the sprinters vying for the green jersey are going to go all out because my eyes aren't good enough, but it comes in the first 20-odd kilometres, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Milan, Merlier... Gamay wants to pick up the pieces, and definitely we'll see Caden once again fighting. You know, Caden's got a great lead-out train. They've just got to get it right, and then Caden's still got to be the quickest.
Yeah.
But he'll give it a big crack.
Yeah, and it's all going to be on SBS, of course. Anything else?
I've got one more big one. I wonder if you know this.
Let's go. Let's see.
Oh, you're going to be excited.
Guess what?
Sarah Gigante won another stage.
I know, and she's third on GC.
How good is that?
We can high-five on this
Sarah.
One. Sarah, very good, because third on GC as well.
Come on, I'm doing your job.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, going. That's a double klaxon. I saw it and I thought of you, actually. And that's actually a genuine reaction. What a win.
Brilliant. Yeah, two stage wins. She's third overall. I think she's leading the Queen of the Mountains.
Yeah, she's on the Queen of the Mountain, yeah.
She's got a tricky final day tomorrow, I believe. I think it's around the Imola race course.
Okay.
So she doesn't always have great positioning skills. She lost time in the crosswinds. But look, to me, she wants to hang on to the podium for sure. But to me, the two stage wins.
Yeah.
Get excited about the Tour de France fam.
What a way to come back.
Yeah.
What a way to come back after the surgery.
So good. So happy for her. Yeah,
absolutely.
She's coming into it.
But thank you, Maka. It's just good to finish on the good news as this one. Thank you, Maka.
It is. Thank you.
The SBS Cycling Podcast was brought to you by Tanara.